Tell me your name and your age and your occupation.
Jennifer Roberts. I am 55 years old, and I'm currently the board president of International House.
And you've had a fairly extensive background in local government service, and what was that?
I served our county commission for 4 terms, and I served as the chair of the Mecklenburg County Commission for 5 years.
So, maybe the best way to start off here is why the mayor, and particularly mayor of Charlotte, which is kind of an interesting position because, of course, it's a weak mayor form of government. You know, and there's obviously some remove from the day-to-day operations of government.
I'm running for mayor of Charlotte because I want to expand economic opportunities into every corner of our city. You know, I've been a teacher and I've been an international businesswoman, and I understand that to bring good jobs to Charlotte, you need to also support education. And I want to help make sure we have opportunities in every corner of our city and that those are 21st century opportunities for good jobs and good quality schools.
Now, how do you do that as the mayor who does not have the ability to who really manages the discussions but doesn't actually vote? I mean, can you talk a little bit about that, about sort of that aspect of it?
The role of the mayor is to be an advocate and to be a spokesperson. And I will be a tireless advocate for a better future for our city, for all of our residents. And I will be a tireless advocate for making sure that conversation extends in a comprehensive way to include not just infrastructure, but also education, opportunity, and the health of our community. And one of the things I hope to bring to the table is that sense of collaboration, the sense of cooperation toward a common shared goal. And we know we have challenges, but when we go into our community and work together, we find amazing ideas. They come from everywhere. I want to help be an advocate to move us forward and to make sure we're moving everyone forward.
And you've been – you entered the race. I mean, you announced that you were going to be seeking the position last year, and you have what's expected to be – we don't have all the numbers yet, but expected to be quite a fundraising advantage at this point. I mean, $300,000 as of the latest filing, which is almost the same amount. I mean, it's a little bit under what the highest fundraiser in the last mayoral election raised. You have – sitting in the room with us, we have a communications director. You have a suite of social media and online tools that has been used in national campaigns. You've released internal polls. You're really running it almost seems like a national campaign.
Well, I tell you, I'm very humbled by the success of our campaign to this point. I'm honored to be connecting with so many voters and hearing from them and, sparking an interest because I'm speaking to the needs of our whole community. And I think the most impressive, humbling, and wonderful thing for me is the fact that we have broken a record in the number of individual contributors to our campaign at this point in the campaign. I have nearly 1,000 individual contributors. And, if you look at the contributions, 2/3 of my contributions are less than $100.
Sure, and that the eyeball test. I didn't do the complete breakdown of that, but the eyeball test certainly looks that way. All right, so if we're going to talk about some of the issues facing Charlotte, you mentioned education before. One of the things, obviously, that was surprising to a lot of city council members this year in a time of economic growth was that we had a budget shortfall. Part of that was had to do with property taxes and the redo of the Mecklenburg County revaluation. But the other part of it was the loss of a business license tax that state lawmakers cut. And we're seeing a lot of pushes from state lawmakers for changes to taxes. There's sort of an uncertain budget future, and it doesn't look like it's going to be a budget that's growing massively. It might be a budget that is constricting. How do you think that we address that?
I've been a huge advocate for public-private partnerships. One of the goals in our community is to keep it affordable. We have hardworking Charlotte families who want to continue to live in Charlotte and be productive here. So we need to always look at ways to be collaborative, to have partnerships, to be more efficient and effective. And when I was County Commission Chair, we had to look at a very tough budget during the worst recession in our lifetimes. And we worked to cut some budget areas by working with the community to prioritize where our spending would be, so that we knew our priorities were the community's priorities. We were focusing on the necessary services, that we kept those services going. We kept our AAA bond rating. But we did this in collaboration with the people who are receiving the services. And we're going to have tough times ahead, and we're going to need to continue to be speaking with everyone about setting those priorities and making sure that we're leveraging with the partnerships we know are so wonderful in this community.
So are there specific examples that you can give me that you think of areas for Charlotte where it could do a better job of having a public-private partnership and maybe cut some of what it's spending?
Well, I can give you examples of what we've already done. If you look at the CATS construction, several of the uptown businesses have contributed to the Gold Rush. They've also contributed to some of the artwork and the infrastructure around specific stops that are in the uptown area that serve many of their employees. When we had our library crisis, we got hundreds, probably thousands of volunteers from the community, because people really saw those as their community assets that necessary for literacy, and they loved their libraries. But we leveraged those volunteers, and we now have a library foundation, to make sure that we were keeping libraries open longer than would have been with our budget shortfall.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the Gold Rush, which, of course, was the kind of trolley cars running before the streetcar started. Now, the streetcar is already kind of shaping up to be a campaign issue. It was in the last election. What do you think of the streetcar?
I am a huge supporter of transit. I think that we have to have public transportation options for our workers and for people to get to work, to get to the doctor. We know when we did a survey during the challenge of the transit tax, 57% of those who ride the buses don't have driver's licenses. It's a lifeline for them. And we know that we have an expanding transit system, which is appropriate for a growing community. So I am very supportive of transit options. The thing that people forget is that for the streetcar, it's connecting our east and west side. It's more than transportation. It is an economic development tool. And so the infrastructure, the businesses and residences that will grow up along that line as it connects the east and the west, which, by the way, have traditionally been neglected and challenged parts of our city, we want opportunity to expand everywhere. And so we want that economic development that comes with a fixed transportation line to also be in our east side and our west side of our city.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, too. That's obviously one of the things that when I do stories about the streetcar, I try to emphasize that, people complain about it. It doesn't have the flexibility of a bus because it's on fixed tracks. At the same time, it sits in traffic, so it doesn't have a dedicated line like a light rail does. So one of the real parts of that project seems to be, the focus on economic development, that developers know where this line is going to be and that there are going to be people moving across of it. So you talk about being an advocate for transportation. Is this the right form of transportation to connect east and west?
Well, if you look at, again, the results we've already had, the South Line spurred $1.4 billion of additional economic investment. And that is, retail, housing, doctor's offices. We know that brings in $16 million each year in tax revenues. So if you look at that fixed line, developers know bus lines can change, bus routes can change, but when you have a fixed rail with the tracks are there, developers know that will be a long-term productive investment for them. And we know that it stimulates that to happen much earlier than it would have in a natural growing pattern for a city. It also helps focus for transit corridors. It helps focus that development so that you can retain green space and open areas away from those transit corridors. So it also is helpful for our environment.
Sure. In terms of the streetcar, obviously funding is coming from the city, and then the city's looking for federal dollars to match it as well. And the partner that's not in there that was there for the Blue Line is the state. We talked a little bit about the budget cuts coming as well. What do you think about what's happening in Raleigh with state lawmakers about the job that they're doing?
Well, one thing I plan to do as our next mayor is to be a tireless advocate for the city of Charlotte. And I will do that collaboratively because I know that other cities feel that their needs are not being met by current state decisions. And so I will be speaking with Greensboro and Raleigh and Wilmington and talk about common goals and common needs that we have. I will be in Raleigh talking to legislators, talking to our governor to make sure that Charlotte's needs are heard, are understood, and that we see those needs as part of the needs of the state as a whole. You know, we are not an independent actor. Charlotte's not the great state of Mecklenburg, as some think. We are interdependent. And I think a lot of that is about communicating that and helping everyone understand that it is a common goal for us to move our state forward as well as our city.
Now, when you were working on the county commission, you had your final year there, there were four Republicans when you were the chair. And, of course, they teamed up with one Democrat to oust you from that chairmanship. I mean, do you think that you can show that you can work with Republicans?
Absolutely. And I will remind you that when I ran for Congress in a very Republican-leaning district, I actually won the most votes in Mecklenburg County. So most of those were conservative districts.
That's District 9, which was against Robert Pittenger, who's the current
correct.
Congressman. That's right. You got 46% in a what was a tough election year in a redistricted North Carolina as well.
Correct.
So do you feel like that shows that campaign showed something about what you can offer as mayor?
I absolutely am a collaborative person in my governance style and also in just who I am as a person. I have worked very well with Republicans. I have a number of Republican supporters, in my campaign right now. And, you know, another example I think of is we had a failed school bond in 2005 because there were differences in opinions with Republicans and Democrats. We worked together and in 2007 had a very successful school bond, the largest one to that time, to help build new schools but also renovate existing schools. We had to do that in a bipartisan manner. And, you know, there are many examples of areas that we find common ground that we know we can work together. And I will continue to do that going forward.
One of the biggest decisions that the you could argue the biggest decision that the Charlotte City Council and the next one is going to have to deal with is City Manager Ron Carley's contract is due to expire. What do you think of the job that he's doing? And would you want to sign him up to continue as city manager?
Well, I think that the city has a number of challenges. I think that he has been very transparent and accessible and has tried to bring information to the public. Obviously, he does that with the help of the city council and the mayor. And I have not been privy to the closed session discussions about other personnel matters that might relate to his contract. So, you know, I hesitate to make a definitive comment without that full knowledge. And I will look forward to working with my colleagues to assess that performance and to make sure that it is in the best interest of the citizens of Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. One of the challenges happening right now is the Randall Carrick trial. Of course, this is the police officer, white police officer who shot an unarmed black man and is accused of voluntary manslaughter. And of course, that feeds into there's a larger national narrative, you know, Ferguson and Charleston. What is the role of city government in addressing, there's an underlying inequality and unrest in some of our minority communities, our more economically depressed communities. What's the role of city government in terms of addressing that?
First of all, let me say, Black lives matter. And we absolutely can do better as a community. I believe that there are a number of conversations that are ongoing right now. It's been very heartening to see not just the faith community, but neighborhood leaders, business leaders. A lot of different areas of our city are coming together around these issues. And what we need to see happen now is action. And I believe the city has a number of opportunities where we can take action to make sure that this kind of thing doesn't happen again.
We are just near the end of our time, but I want to ask you, I want to make sure that I ask you the kind of the classic reporter's question, which is there anything else that you want to talk about that I have not asked you about and I should have?
There are a couple of things. I think, first of all, it is evident that I'm the only woman in the race. And as a wife and mother, I understand from a unique perspective what our working families are facing in Charlotte. And I know the juggling act that it takes to keep families strong and healthy and to keep good-paying jobs here in Charlotte. I think that is a unique perspective for me to be that tireless advocate for our community and not just economic growth, but making sure that opportunity extends to every corner of our city. The other thing I would say is that I have an international background that is very unique. I have been a diplomat in our foreign service. I speak four languages. I have helped recruit international companies to Charlotte, and I will continue to do that. We are a global player, and our citizens recognize that. We have a growing international population right here in our city. I will use my talents and skills to leverage that so that every Charlotte family can benefit.
And very briefly, what four languages do you speak?
English, French, Spanish, and Italian.
Very nice. All right. Jennifer Roberts, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
It's been my pleasure.